Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Clean Energy View radio show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. You can also visit our website at www.cleanenergyview.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter to find out about upcoming guests, features, events, and other shows on our network. If you have any questions or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email to info@cleanenergyview.com. The path to affordable, sustainable energy, especially when it comes to efficiency and accessibility, has many challenges. This is primarily because of the costs involved with production and distribution of energy. There are also many other factors to consider, such as environmental impact, safety, available resources, and efficiency of the technology. While it would be great if we could simply switch to renewable energy overnight, unfortunately, we still have a long transitional period ahead of us, especially if the United States is to become completely energy independent. Today, I have the pleasure of talking to Ron McDonald, the executive chairman of American Vanadium, and we are going to be talking about a very important topic, which is sustainable electric energy storage. This is of great importance, especially for the folks, such as myself, who have experienced long-term power outages caused by severe weather systems such as Hurricane Katrina and, more recently, Superstorm Sandy. So I would like to welcome to the show Mr. Ron McDonald. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, June. I really appreciate you taking the time to put me on your show.
It's a pleasure. I thank the world of everything that you're doing, and I'm sure that for the folks that are tuning in today, they're going to completely understand my enthusiasm as they learn about everything that you're doing. But before we begin, could you please share with our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to work for American Vanadium?
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm a son of a coal miner. So I grew up in a coal mining town down in Cape Breton in eastern Nova Scotia. And mining has sort of been in my veins. Unfortunately, it was coal dust as well in my veins. I grew up, I was always interested in politics, got involved with federal politics in Canada. I, at an early age, worked with the Deputy Prime Minister and the Foreign Affairs Minister in the Canadian government. I was Chief of Staff to the Deputy Prime Minister when I was probably about 26, I guess. And then I decided to get politics out of my blood, so I went and I sought a nomination in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in a riding that had never been liberal, held by the Liberal Party, and I got the nomination and I won the election. So I spent about 11 years in the Federal Parliament of Canada, did a lot of stuff there, a lot of natural resources. I ended up as Parliamentary Secretary for International Trade, and in that I did trade disputes and trade promotion globally with the Canadian government. And so, you know, Canada is a place where there is lots of natural resources. So mining not only was in my blood from where I grew up, but it turned out to be a pretty significant part of the portfolio I held in the federal government. So after I retired at 40. I thought it was a good time to get out of politics. I thought it was time for younger people to get involved. And I started to work in the resource sector. American Vanadium, I had some friends that were working there. They came to see me a few years ago and said, "You've really got to come over to our office and sit down. This is a really good team. We've got this unique thing called vanadium. It's in Nevada, and it's used to make steel. But there's a huge potential that we can do something else with it." And that's where I started. So that was about 3 years ago, and so now I'm the chairman of the company, and we've got an amazing team, and we're creating magic, and which is pretty nice.
Thank you. Can you please explain to our audience what vanadium does and why it's a more environmentally friendly option?
Well, vanadium traditionally, it's been used for a very long time. It's kind of interesting. You go way back in the Model T Ford. The reason that the Model T Ford could go into mass production with that small combustion engine that it had was because they used a little bit of vanadium in the steel that was used for the Model T. And so what vanadium has traditionally done for over 100 years, you put a little bit, about a half a percent, in your mixture when you're making your steel, and you can have you get about 40% more strength. Or another way to put it, you use 40% less iron ore. So you get a lighter, stronger steel. And that's been pretty much its traditional use. If you get it really, really pure, You can go into things like titanium alloys, which are really important for the defense industries in the United States and around the world. And you can get it super, super pure. You can create an electrolyte, which can be used to store massive amounts of power. And not only store it, but it's almost infinite. You can store and discharge. You can charge and discharge hundreds, thousands of times without degrading the electrolyte. So it's a unique solution that we've got. It's a unique deposit in Nevada. And so where we're at today is, you know, we're about 2 years away, maybe 18 months from mining this deposit. But that deposit is going to be fully dedicated, not to steel, not to I-beams. It's going to be dedicated to producing electrolyte for mass electric storage for Americans.
Thank you. Can you please also explain why vanadium is environmentally preferable to other materials that are used in the manufacturing of energy products?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different technologies. Some are old technologies like lead-acid batteries. And lead-acid batteries are in use all over the world. They have been for a very long time to store energy, to store electricity. The problem with it is it's lead and it's acid. And so it's not environmentally very friendly. If it spills, it causes major problems. And there are other technologies out there like sodium sulfur, which are really good in the technological application to store energy. But the problem is that they are very dangerous. And if you have a fire, it is a massive fire. You cannot put it out. It's got to burn itself out. So with us, we've got rather a benign metal that we can turn into an electrolyte. And, you know, we would put that in a battery. And after 15 years, if somebody wanted to decommission the battery, we can recover nearly 100% of the vanadium that went in it. So it doesn't burn out. This is the unique thing about it. Other technologies, which have their own highest value, if it's lithium or you know other technologies, over time their efficiency goes down. Over time, high purity vanadium electrolyte does not lose any efficiency.
Thank you. Can you also share with our audience the mining process for vanadium and why there is actually a minimal impact to the environment in that process?
Yeah, absolutely. The deposit is just outside of Eureka, Nevada, and people have known that it's been there for years, but they just couldn't quite figure out how to process it. And what happened is normally vanadium is found as a byproduct. And you know, a little bit of vanadium that had been produced in the past in the United States normally came as a byproduct from uranium mining. And that has a whole bunch of its own issues about how do you clean it. The majority of vanadium globally comes from iron ore slags. So it finds itself in small quantities with iron ore. And when you go and you are making steel on your first melt, some of the vanadium is in that slag. So I would probably say maybe 70% comes that way. Other ones come from things like crude oil, heavy crude coming from Venezuela and places like that. What's really unique here is that our deposit does not take place in a hard rock. Everywhere else in the world pretty much does. It's in a shale. And what we've been told by the scientists is that over millions of years, there had been a big ore body, a big heavy rock body, and it got oxidized and it got weathered down. And the vanadium leached out of it and leached into the shale that's there. So for us to go in, we don't have to do underground mining. The shale is already broken up. It's like a hill of small rocks. And what we can do is that we will take those rocks. We don't even have to crush it. It's already pretty much crushed. And through the process that we have, we would extract the vanadium very cleanly. It's a closed-loop system that we'd be using, so there's nothing gets out into the atmosphere. And then when we're finished with it, we just put the rocks back where we got them initially. So it is a very clean process on mining, and it is a unique deposit in the world. We haven't been able to find another highly oxidized deposit in a shale anywhere in the world so far, other than in Nevada.
The pictures on your company's website, which is AmericanVanadium.com, are really impressive. I mean, you have so many pictures that show the actual process. I'm just curious, how did you find the vanadium source in the United States?
Well, this is really interesting. I mean, we've had this for maybe 3 years, but it had been heavily drilled out by a whole bunch of other mining companies back in the 50s and 60s. And they just said, well, you know, we don't really know how to extract this vanadium. We're used to finding it in other types of deposits. So one of the people that's a principal of the company, one of the people that started the company said, I know that there's a vanadium deposit there, and we really need to go down and look at it. So they put some money together, four or five individuals, and they secured the deposit. And that was the start of it. So, you know, 3 years later, we have our fully developed business plan. Our feasibility is all done. And currently we're working with the Bureau of Land Management, because it's on federal lands in Nevada, to ensure that that everything that we're going to be doing meets all of the environmental standards. And indeed, we have set ourselves up to be the greenest mine in America. And when I say that, I mean it. One of the things that we did, we were sitting down scratching our heads one day, and we said, you know, this vanadium deposit can really cause a revolution, a new industrial revolution in America, by being able to make electric storage coming from whatever source, but in particular from wind and solar, to make it economic. And so when we looked at that, we said, well, hang on a second. Where are we going to get our power for the mine? And we are going to take it off the grid. We said, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, we're going to have to walk the walk. So what we've done is we've committed to developing a microgrid with a solar farm that we're going to be developing right next to the mine site. And we're going to have a vanadium flow battery. If we're going to try to sell it to everybody else, we have to show that it works for us as well. And whatever excess power that we have, we will be feeding it straight into the grid to help power some of the homes in the area, and perhaps even part of the town of Eureka.
Thank you. It's so exciting to learn about all the things that you're doing. Can you explain to our audience why this hasn't taken place before with other technologies? I mean, you would think that somebody would have come up with this a long time ago.
Well, the technology has been around for about 20 years. The problem with the technology, as with any technology, it takes a long time to get it from the test tube or from the lab out into the marketplace, and the marketplace has got to be able to pay what it costs for that technology. And that's been a major problem over the last 15, 20 years with a whole bunch of storage technologies. That has changed significantly in the last, I would say, 4 years. One of the things that happened is that China decided that they were going to get into green energy in a big way. And they do things in five-year plans. So in the 11th five-year plan, which was 6 years ago, they set a target for renewable energy, and they said, we are going to, over the next 5 years, invest heavily, and we're going to produce 8% of all of our power from renewables. They not only did it, but they overachieved it. They got about 8.9%. But during that period of time, the state invested huge amounts of money in decreasing the cost of these technologies and increasing the efficiency. And so right now, storage in China is the next big target. China is going to develop 5% storage to their total electrical output by 2021. That is enormous. But what it's done is it's really focused a lot of investment in these technologies like vanadium flow batteries to increase the efficiency and to decrease the cost. Where we have a real advantage, when you look at a vanadium flow battery, and we'll get into that a little bit, what it looks like in the applications, but about 35 to 40% of the cost of the battery is the vanadium. And we kind of looked at this and said, well, that's going to be a real barrier to adaption of this technology. So we started to look at it again and said, Eureka, let's think about this. This does not burn out. Now, the pumps do and the membranes do, and you have to all the maintenance and computer systems. But the fundamental thing that makes it work, which is the vanadium electrolyte, does not burn out. So we said, well, fine. If the high cost of vanadium is an impediment, why wouldn't we just lease the vanadium over time into the battery? That suddenly drops the cost from anywhere from 12 to 14%, and it makes it affordable. It means that you can adapt that technology today on those types of models, and it makes sense. Even better, it makes wind energy make sense. You can make money if you have an efficient storage. Same on solar.
Thank you. Can you also explain how the technology that you've developed will lend itself to helping America in its pursuit of clean energy and energy independence?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the holy grail of renewables has been storage. And I read an interesting statistic. Apparently, about 53% of all the wind energy that is created at night. That presents a big problem, because it's the period of lowest demand is at night. So what happens a lot is that these wind turbines are out there and they're producing electricity that just gets blown out of the network, because there's no efficient way to store it. So when you look at renewables and you look at these technologies like vanadium flow batteries, they have an ability to take that power, really efficiently store it, and release it to the grid only when the grid needs it. what you're talking about is a massive change in the way people, engineers, utilities will plan their capital programs. If they don't have to plan for peak power, and if there are a number of battery installations wherever they need them, if they need them at a hospital, if they need them at the Metropolitan Transit Authority, if they need it at a defense, or if they need it in an office building, or you need it at a home, these batteries will be able to take that renewable energy, hold it, use it when they need it, and what they don't need, they can put back onto the grid. That's going to replace a huge amount of fossil fuels and really significantly lower the carbon footprint of energy production.
Thank you. What are your priorities with new product development? I mean, you're talking about so many different opportunities that the technology can be used for. In the immediate future, where do you see this technology being implemented?
Well, a couple of places. Anywhere where you need uninterruptible power. And we saw with Superstorm Sandy here that some of the best laid plans just didn't work. And somebody was indicating, I'm not sure it was the Metropolitan Transit Authority or one of them, they had their plans and they had their diesel generators on the roof. The problem was the pumps to pump the diesel to the roof were in the basement. And so when that storm surge came, it blew out the pumps, and so they couldn't do it. So anywhere where you need uninterruptible power, absolutely. Anywhere where you're off the grid, where there's no transmission, so it'd be on islands or in remote locations, it can be used. It can store traditionally generated energy. But where we're really excited is we just announced today that we've signed a memorandum of agreement with Gildemeister out of Europe. And Gildemeister has, from our perspective, the best technology around vanadium flow batteries in the world. And we're partnering with them, and we're going to start here in New York. I'm in New York today because we've got a lot of meetings with government officials and state officials and transit officials talking about the applicability of vanadium flow batteries to their needs and applications here in New York. So one of the things that I'm really, really excited by, and I hope people will go on Gildemeister's website or on our website and look at it, they have a thing called an e-charger. Everybody talks about electric vehicles, yeah? And everybody says, you know, we need more electric vehicles on the road. But the fact is, if you're just plugging into the grid, you're still using what arguably is dirty power. And so you're still using carbon-based inputs to generate that power to plug it in your car. One of the products that we will be taking into the United States with this cooperation agreement that we've signed is called an e-charging station. It is unbelievably attractive. It has a vanadium flow battery, fully self-contained. It has a vertical wind turbine, and it's got what's called a sun catcher. And this is a smaller series of solar panels, which tracks the sun to get maximum efficiency out of the panel. And the wind turbine, like a lot of people say, I want those wind turbines to go around and they're noisy, and some of them are. This wind turbine is a vertical wind turbine. It's applicable in city areas because it doesn't go around, it goes in the other direction. And it has about the same decibels in full operation as a library. So we're really excited. Hopefully very soon we will be demonstrating this somewhere in New York City. Because the state has said that they're going to put about 300 charging stations. We want to be this city to be one of the first in the world to showcase electric vehicle charging stations, vanadium flow batteries with renewable energy all integrated into one small microgrid.
Thank you. Do you have any intentions of taking this technology overseas, especially since last July, the power outage in India, which affected millions of people. I do believe it was something like 620 million people, which from what I understand is about 9% of the world's population were without power. That's a lot of people without power. Do you see the technology being brought overseas to other locations where they have a big demand for energy but just don't have the capacity?
The whole area of building microgrids is absolutely growing exponentially. And I think I'd mentioned to you earlier, if you did a Google alert for microgrids or storage, electrical storage, 2 years ago, you might get a hit with a technical paper every so often in your inbox. And there's a dozen stories a day, most days now, coming out on it. So storage is the solution. Building bigger transmission facilities for peak power is not the way to go, and it costs billions and billions of dollars to build it out. So what people are now looking at, and India would be the ideal solution, because in a lot of parts of India, their grid is in such bad shape that it's not even a grid. So India has an opportunity to use these technologies to build from the ground up. And I can tell you, I read an article probably about 2 weeks ago, and it's probably coming out of that power outage, which talked about billions and billions of dollars being dedicated to building microgrid solutions in India. So I think some of these emerging countries like China, economies, and India have a real opportunity to be early adapters and because they don't have to repair old stuff. They can just build new stuff, and they can incorporate storage. Storage is the key. Efficient storage means that wind turbines, solar, wave power, other things like that make sense. And it's renewable. It's not adding to the carbon footprint. It is reducing the carbon footprint. And it goes on forever as long as the sun shines and the wind blows.
Thank you. Do you see the technology also helping as far as the costs of the current energy that we use? I mean, prices just seem to be skyrocketing.
Well, I think America will be energy self-sufficient probably in 7 to 10 years. And people will say to me, you're crazy. I'm not crazy. If you just look at the initiatives that are taking place in New York State, I am absolutely amazed. We're in the business. We're transitioning as a company, American Vanadium, over to an electric storage company. That is what we will be. And when I look around and I see this convergence of energies on the policy side, on the political side, and on the economic side, you cannot stop this. And I think, for your listeners out there, I would tell them that just like 20 years ago, think about computers. Not many houses had them. And now everybody's got one in their hand that is infinite in the amount of information that you can access. And I will dare to say that in 10 years' time in the United States, this will be a very different place because these technologies, not just vanadium flow, but, very high-quality new technologies around lithium batteries and other things like that, are going to change the way Americans think about energy. And that is going to change the way that they think about the environment and sustainability as well. So I just feel kind of blessed that our little company is at the beginning of this, as I called it before, this next industrial revolution. And I think we're going to be starting it right here in New York State.
I personally think that you are making history as we speak, and it's very exciting to be witness to all of this, especially since so many people are concerned and are anxious about the possibility that we could, in fact, be off the grid at any given point and not have any type of a backup plan that would be long-term. I mean, when Hurricane Sandy hit, people were going bananas because they wanted power, and the gas generators still need gas, but the fact that there were lines like 6, 7, 8 blocks long, the fact that the transportation systems, that the highways were shut down, the trains were shut down, we were basically stuck.
Yes.
And that really sent a big message to people as far as the urgent need to have viable options that make sense, that utilize renewable energy, and also options that are affordable and lend itself to the future of America as being an independent nation as far as energy is concerned.
Well, I think one of the things, too, coming out of Superstorm Sandy, it really shone a light on the aging infrastructure around how we generate and transmit power. All over the Northeast here. And one of the things, if you're going to put Band-Aids on this, it will happen again and again and again. So there's an opportunity here, and it really is being driven, I think, by the governor's office, is to change the way we do things here, and it will be all through New England. To rebuild a crippled grid is not the way to do it. What you really want is to take the technologies, and you want to be able to store energy by neighborhood, by building. So when that next storm comes, and there will be another one at some point, hopefully not as bad as the last one, and when that comes, you're going to have to rely. The power company should be able to rely on 1,000 different battery solutions all over Long Island and down here in Manhattan. So then when it does go out, that they are able to access back into local smart grids, into local grids in neighborhoods, the power that we so desperately need. We have become addicted to our need for electricity. And now what we've got to do is to understand that what we have to have different solutions. Storing energy efficiently, being able to use renewables instead of carbon-based fuels over time is the future. And you know, I'm looking forward to the day when houses are going to be built and it's not a matter of are you on the grid or not, and you're going to have solar panels on the roof because they're going to be they're coming down in price and up in efficiency. You'll have wind turbines in your backyard, and you'll have your own battery, and you'll become a little enterprise, and you'll use what you need, and the rest you will sell back into the grid. So you're going to become power producers. We're going to have tens of thousands of power producers in people's backyards and on top of office buildings and residences all over North America, and that is the future of renewable energy because of storage.
Thank you so much. Mr. McDonald, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today and also learning about the fabulous technology that you have, and especially how this is going to empower America as well as people all over the world to really be able to tap into renewable energy and utilize it just as they would with fossil fuels.
Well, I think, you know, again, I've got to throw some credit where credit is due. I really like what I see in New York State. I really like the fact that there's leadership there, and I like the fact that everybody is rowing in the same direction here. So, for you know, if this technology is already in operation in different parts of the world, Gilde Meister, who we signed our cooperation agreement with today, who have that technology, they put 28 major installations in through Europe and other parts of the world. And so, you know, it is there. We're hoping that once the market sees the applicability and that it is economic here, and there's many, many other applications that we didn't have a chance to talk about, you know, it is always, it's always been my view that those that, you know, that benefit from a resource, those that live close to a resource should benefit from it. So we've dedicated ourselves to create green jobs in America, and once we start selling these units in the United States, it is our desire and it is our objective to create those green jobs in New England, in New York, with manufacturing and fabricating. No sense in importing this from somewhere else. There's good old USA know-how right here in this state, and it's our intention as this market develops that we're going to develop and invest in it as well with manufacturing and fabrication facilities for New Yorkers.
Thank you so much. And could you please share with our audience your company's website and contact information?
It's AmericanVanadium.com. And just go online, and there's some really interesting links. I think we've just put up some of the Gilde Meister. I really encourage people to go in. I'm like a kid when I see some of this stuff. And the charging stations, I want to see that charging station in Times Square, and I want people to go and see that the future is now. It's not something that's – this is not coming out of a museum or a lab. It's there today. That charging station is able to charge 6 cars simultaneously. And I think when people see it and they understand that it's there now, they're going to be supporting it, and hopefully that means a quicker adaption of the technologies for the people of the state.
Well, I think everything that you're doing is really coming to New York as well as to the United States at just the perfect time. And I really am looking forward to having you come back to share your success as everything unfolds in the not-so-distant future. So thank you so much, Mr. McDonald, for coming on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much, June.
And folks, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been June Stoyer with the Clean Energy View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.